in that one song. A woman sees a father shopping with a fussy toddler in his grocery cart. And you can hear the father saying, "Be patient, Billy. You can do this, Billy. It's going to be okay, Billy," as they go through the aisles. Finally, the lady can't handle it anymore. She goes up to the man and says, "I cannot believe how patient you are with your little Billy." The man replied, "Actually, my son's name is Patrick. My name is Billy." Joy is often a lot more about what's going on inside of us than what's happening on the outside. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you for all the things that you do for us. All that comes into our lives is because of your grace that you extend us. As we embrace you with all of our being, fill our lives with your joy. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 9 to 17. Ernie's got it up here. I'm going to read this to you. Deuteronomy 16, 9 to 17. "You shall count 7 weeks, beginning to count the 7 weeks from the time the sickle is first put into the standing grain. Then you shall keep the festival of weeks to the Lord your God, contributing a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing that you have received from the Lord your God. Rejoice before your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levite residents in your towns, as well as strangers, the orphans, and the widows among you, at the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for your name. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt and diligently observe these statutes. You shall keep the festival of booths for 7 days when you have gathered in the produce from your threshing floor and your winepress. Rejoice during your festival, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, as well as the Levites, the strangers, the orphans, and the widow resident in your towns. 7 days you shall keep the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose, for the Lord your God will bless you in all you produce and in all your undertakings, and you shall surely celebrate. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at a place that he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, at the festival of weeks, and the festival of booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. All shall give as they're able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you." And you're thinking, where on earth are we going? Chapter 16 of Deuteronomy, it focuses on 3 celebrations the people of Israel were to commemorate throughout the year to help them to remember major events where the Lord delivered and encountered his people. The first event they were to observe was the Passover. You might remember Israel was in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and the Passover was when they were delivered. It commemorated in how every firstborn male was spared from the plague of death. The Lord had instructed the people to sprinkle blood of a sacrificial lamb over their doorposts of their houses. When the angel of the Lord saw the blood, he literally passed over, and they were safe. In fact, it was these 10 plagues that freed Israel from the bondage of their Egyptian oppressors, as the slave owners had experienced enough punishment through the plagues. Each of the plagues challenged one of the Egyptian man, woman, made gods. Ultimately, Jesus has become the Lamb whose blood was shed so God could pass over our sins. In today's passage, we're going to look at the other 2 festivals that the children of Israel were to observe. Are there any spiritual encounters that you've had with God, that you've experienced in the past, that would be good for you to celebrate and commemorate? The passage starts off in Deuteronomy 16:9 saying, "Count off 7 weeks from when you put the sickle to the grain. Then celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord God by giving a freewill offering in accordance to how he's blessed you." The term Festival of Weeks or Festival of Harvest originally comes from Moses telling people to count off 7 weeks before the celebration, usually in late May or June. This was the first fruits from the early crops that were being harvested. Later, it was renamed Pentecost. Penta being 50, because the Septuagint translation of 50 days. The people of Israel acknowledged that all the good things that had come their way were either directly or indirectly from God's hand. The people cheerfully brought freewill offerings in gratitude for all that God had done for them. They were to give in accordance to their abundance they had. If one person had 50 bushels of wheat compared to a neighbor who had 50,000 bushels of wheat, the second person would naturally be able to give more out of their abundance. Unfortunately, many times we focus on what we don't have instead of what we do. I only have an old skidoo. My neighbor just bought two new ones for $40,000. Do we really need new sleds to make our life complete? Don't answer that. I can only afford to rent when everyone around me is buying houses. The better question is, does this shelter that has been provided for me keep me warm and dry? Can we be happy for the things the Master has poured into our hands without comparing it with what someone else has? Philippians 4, 11 to 13, Paul says, "For I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Those who have more should obviously be very generous. But we are not asked to give according to what someone else does or doesn't do. Each of us will be accountable to how we handle what God has given us. Deuteronomy 16:11. They were to rejoice before the Lord with their families, the religious leaders, the foreigners, the orphans, the widows. Notice there is no distinction of class, race, economic standing, education, or job position. Since God had bountifully poured his generosity on the nation of Israel, they were to be extremely generous to others. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone being too generous to those who are in need. In Deuteronomy 16:12, the people were also admonished to follow God's law, to devote themselves to their deliverer, as they had previously been slaves in Egypt before God miraculously intervened. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus' followers on the day of Pentecost, filling them and fulfilling his promise to send the Comforter, Acts 8:1. "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The emphasis has shifted from simply God's physical provision to the spiritual kingdom that the Lord wants to build inside each one of us. Now we have a daily access to experience the release of Christ's Spirit into our lives, sharing the good news with others while he continues to transform and get transforming work of getting the junk out of our lives. The whole idea of gospel being good news. In Deuteronomy 16:13, the third festival is mentioned, which is called the Feast of Tabernacles or Huts. It was called the Celebration of Tabernacle or Booths because after the harvest, the Israelites were to live in these makeshift houses, tree branches or foliage, for 1 week. It's kind of neat. You get time off work to build a tree house with your family. These little huts were to help the people recall the journey where God had led them out of Egypt through the desert, in which they were also traveling, and so they literally had to make makeshift booths to live out of. In this physical celebration of shelters, it would also provide housing and a place to stay for the week. This festival time was to come at the end of the harvest season, once the grain had been threshed and the grapes pressed. This third celebration would have been in the fall, a few months after the second celebration. Deuteronomy 16:14 says, rejoice in your festival. The New International says, be joyful in your celebration. Don't you think it's a little funny that people had to be reminded to be joyful? Sometimes we're so fixated on the past or looking beyond the present to what is coming in the future that we do not fully enjoy what is right in front of us. God wants us to encounter His joy in every area of our lives. We are so grateful that we have food in our house, that we could eat breakfast this morning. Did anybody here eat breakfast? Okay, are some of you going to eat lunch? I'll pick it up. That we have friends that love us and care about us. That God has given us our very breath, that we can sing, laugh, talk. Instead of relishing in what we have today and living life for all it's worth, are we placing our hope in some future event that may never come? There's a story told in Luke 12, 16, 21 about a man who kept building bigger and bigger barns, planning to take life easy at the end of it. But he ended up dying before he could enjoy it. We can encounter joy in our relationship with God and each other today. We don't need to wait till tomorrow. Deuteronomy 16, 15 says that after you celebrate with everyone at the festival and are grateful to God in your worship, that it'll be a great time of joy for everyone. The New International Version says, and your joy will be complete. These three times a year, the people of Israel were to take a pilgrimage to worship God at the sanctuary in celebration of God and all He had done for them. These celebrations also underlined and reinforced the importance of their solidarity as a community of God's people. They went joyfully to these celebrations, affirming God's goodness to them as a community. Joe Kurkowski is the American blood donor champion. Let me tell you a little bit about his life. When he was 6 years old, through an accident, he lost one arm. During World War II, he attempted to sign up to fight in the army, but of course, with only one arm, they said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Since then, he has donated 31 gallons of blood. The human body contains 10 to 12 pints of blood. Joe has donated more than 20 times that amount. Joe said, giving blood makes you feel like contributing life itself. There's no more precious a gift than life. Money can't buy joy, the joy of giving blood to help someone who needs it. Throughout the book of Philippians in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul proclaims that those who identify themselves as Christians, as Christ followers, will be marked by the characteristic of joy. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 6, 25 to 34. For all of you who are carrying worries today, for all of you who are carrying fears today, listen to this. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father, He feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Did you hear that? He knows exactly what you need. He knows the weight of your heart. And did you catch the last line? Each day has enough trouble of its own. Try and live today. Try and be present today. Tomorrow's going to have to take care of tomorrow. Are we able to remember a time where we actually encountered and embraced joy in our whole being? If we do not normally experience joy in our lives, it's sometimes because we're not grateful. Our eyes have become focused on the wrong things. The three celebrations, the Passover, Pentecost, Festival of Booths, they were to be reminders to the people of Israel of God's blessing on their lives. It helped to cultivate hearts of gratitude, drawing the people back to all that was good in their lives and primarily their relationship to God and each other. Seasons like Advent call us back to God with hearts that are full of appreciation for what Jesus has done for us. The Advent, the coming of the Christ, was to finally free us from the bondage that we could no longer carry. Our sin was destroying us from the inside out, and there was no way to rescue ourselves. And so once again, God intersected our lives. He came and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. The long anticipation of the coming of the Christ child should make our hearts well up with joy, because we know the end of the story and the deep impact it has had in our lives. We will encounter joy as we begin thanking God for all he's done in our lives, in the past, in the present, what is to come. It might be helpful for some of us to go home and write a list of things that we're grateful for. It won't take long, and we'll run out of room to write on our papers. What kind of celebration markers can we make in our lives, with our family, with our church community? God is giving each of us opportunities to party, to celebrate. Don't miss it. Can I say it again? He's given us reasons to party, to celebrate. When you're working on a project and complete it, celebrate. When Carrie was going for a follow-up checkup to determine if she had beaten cancer, we planned to celebrate with root beer and pizza. The test came back initially inconclusive, but we celebrated in faith anyway. A little while later, the positive report we were hoping for was confirmed. In May of every year, when our family was still a unit of five, we used to celebrate our Family Day. Look for things that fit who you are and the kindness the Lord has shown you. This time of Advent should reflect our joy to God and those around us because of the promised hope of the Savior who came to take the sins of the world. Celebrating can help to move our focus from what we don't have to all the good things that we do have in Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the coming of the Christ child. How you not only provided for us physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. We want to express our hearts of gratitude and worship back to you for all you're doing in our lives. Begin to open our eyes to all you've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can somebody get the kids for communion?
Such joy, such unspeakable joy, such peace, an everlasting peace. Such love, a pure and holy love. Spirit, have your way in me. There's a peace that floods my soul when the Spirit of the Lord is in control. A joy no bounds can hold when the Spirit blows a fresh wind through my soul. Holy Spirit, flow through me, touch my heart, and there will be such joy, such unspeakable.
This morning, we're going to celebrate the Lord's table together. I'm just going to give a little bit of explanation of how we're doing communion these days. At a certain point, when I invite you to come, you'll find up here there's bread and juice, gluten-free. For a second there, I thought the gluten-free were cookies, and I was going to shift my loyalties. But the smaller plate has the gluten-free bread on it when you come up, and then there's juice. And we invite all to participate as we move toward Christ in our lives. At the end of the service, there'll be baskets at the back doors that you can put your cups and everything that goes with it in it. This morning, we celebrate with great anticipation when the marriage supper of the Lamb comes, when all will be around in eternity together, where God has finally made all things right. This symbolic meal is a reminder of what is to come in the future. Paul says in Corinthians that we see in a glass dimly. Things aren't clear a lot of times for us in life. But there will finally be a day when we see Jesus face to face and things will finally make sense. We say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. And so this morning, with anticipation and hope of what is yet to come, we celebrate this meal together. So I invite you to come and take the elements. I should mention one other thing. Hang on to the cup and juice till you sit down, and then we'll partake of them together. So come. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Whenever you eat the bread, do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your broken body for us, that you know exactly what we need. You know how to heal us, restore us, and bring us back into relationship with you and each other. Thank you for the gift of your life given for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same way, he takes a cup and he says, in the new covenant, "Do this in remembrance of me. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup proclaims the Lord's death until he comes again." We say, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus." Let's partake together. Jesus, we're just so thankful for your love always reaching toward us. That no matter what has happened in our lives in the past, now, or in the future, that you always want to draw us close to yourself and affirm over and over of your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing I'm going to mention is on the Sunday that we do communion, we take a benevolent offering. And a couple things actually have presented themselves in recent days. One of them you might have seen in our newsletter, where the soup kitchen in Athabasca has asked for travel cups and water bottles, and a whole bunch of people have brought things in. So thank you for everybody who's brought those things in. Today, we have a connection in Alberta Hospital who they don't have great supplies for art supplies for the people there. And so our benevolent offering this morning is actually going to go to their art supplies for those in Alberta Hospital. So if those who are going to take the benevolent offering would come now. I have a couple announcements, benediction, we'll sing one more song, you're going to be dismissed. Apparently somebody was trying to take money out of the offering plate in the back there. And if you need money that bad, you can have it. Just a reminder of things that are coming. Wednesday is a Christmas party here for our youth. On the Saturday, they're going to go for a sleigh ride, 2 o'clock, I think, at the Greens. Next Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent, which is on love. And then, of course, our Christmas Eve service is at 7 o'clock. It'll be from 7 to about 7:45. It'll be candlelight. We'll try and keep it short. Encourage you to come. Invite your friends. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that a grateful heart, being grateful for what we have as opposed to what we don't have, a lot of times helps create joy in our lives. So let's find things to be grateful for this week. Amen.
And
angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid while our hearts in love we raise. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
You guys are dismissed. Have a wonderful week.
Joy, such unspeakable joy, such peace.